Peace. In the most blessed name of Jesus the Christ, who's forever praised. I've been given the topic pan-Christism, seeing Christ in all things. This is a real word. Pan-Christism, seeing Christ in all things. So when you think about this word, you need not think about pantheism. We're not talking about pan-Christism the way we would talk about pantheism. Pantheism is like all things are God. It's a false God. It's a false teaching. It's pantheism would be like I'm thinking this is God, and that thing is God, and I'm God, and you're God. We're not elevating all things to being God. It's not what we're talking about. We're not elevating all things to being Christ. We're talking about seeing Christ. Really, I'm not being heard, really? That never happens to me. Can you hear me a little bit better now? Better? No? Better? We're talking about seeing things. Seeing Christ in all things. I thought as I would start, I thought I would start by talking a little bit about seeing and how the Bible talks about seeing. In John 9, Jesus heals a man that was born blind. Sometimes I just think about the miracles of Jesus and I go, wow, like they are amazing. When you just think about the nature of the miracle, like what must have went into it, it's even more amazing the more that you know about his creation, right? So Jesus heals a man that was born blind, a man who had never seen anything before. Now, when you see, for those of you who are able to see, physically see, talking about physical sight, you have the apparatus of your eyes. Your eyes need to function properly. But really, the seeing is happening in your mind. Because the apparatus has to be operating properly. But your mind is the thing that's your brain, but really, your mind is perceiving what you're seeing. Your mind is what makes sense out of what you see. Does that make sense? So, and there are cases like this where people have been able, through medical science, have been maybe at a young age could not see and were able to see again and were overwhelmed by being able to see because when their eyes were made to work, perhaps in their optical nerve or whatever was making it difficult for them to be able to see. Their mind had not learned how to perceive what they were seeing. Right? Their mind had not learned how to perceive it. So you're seeing things, but you can't make any sense out of it. It doesn't mean anything to you. Alright? So when the scriptures talk about seeing, in the case of the man born blind, that miracle is even bigger than you think. Because the man could have automatically, not only could he physically see, but he could perceive things accurately. And there's so much, we don't even need to go into all that, there's so much that goes into that, like perceiving things, depth, color. There are several nuances in seeing. So when Jesus heals the man who's born blind, he's able to see, and he immediately perceives everything accurately. When we talk about seeing in the Scripture, that's really what we're talking about. Seeing Christ in all things so that we have accurate sight as to everything Christ has done, everything He's made, and we can see Him in those things that He has influenced, that He has made. We're talking about how do we see Christ in the objective world? How do we see Christ in our own? How do we see Christ in all things with no boundaries, in all things. How do we see this thing and say, I can see how Christ sees this thing. I can accurately perceive it the way He does. I can respond to it the way that I can think about it. So we're not talking just about, we're not talking really at all about physical sight. We're talking about how we perceive things, how we understand things. I have a pair of glasses, right? They help me to physically see. I just took them off, and I'm realizing that the older I get, I can see worse. I mean, when I was younger, I couldn't see that well, but now I'm like, wow, I can't really see very at all now. I just took my glasses off. Man, wouldn't it be awesome if you could just put on a pair of Christ glasses, and you could see Christ in all things. You could have His sight. You could think like He does about things. You could perceive the world the way He perceives it. You could perceive relationships, circumstances, physical things, spiritual things. You could see all things the way He, you could see Him in all things. Wouldn't that be awesome? But it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like, you can't just put on a pair of Christ glasses. So what we want to do is we want to spend some time in the Scriptures, getting a better sense of how He sees things. And then what I'm going to do first is really go through a number of passages at a very high level and just say, hey, these passages give you a sense of the breadth of the influence, the governance, the creation of Christ. I want to give you a sense of the breadth of Christ that He does. He can be seen in all things. We're going to start with that. And then we're just going to look at a couple of specific passages that give us a sense about how we can set our mind correctly, that we could begin to grow in this way. Many of these, actually pretty much all of these passages are going to be passages that you're familiar with, but it's still good to do this, right? First passage, I thought when the brother brought this up, I thought, man, I'm gonna spend a lot of time in this passage, so this is good. Let's look first at Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 15, right? Colossians 1, 15. So He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By Him all things were created. Okay, all material and visible things are created by Christ. All material and visible things are created by Christ. Every atom, every material thing was created by Him. But I want you to, so, like, we're aware of this, but think about the implications of the fact that before He created all that's created, there didn't exist any physical, like, He made all physical things, okay? He's the one who created this. He created every atom in the universe was created by Him. Every molecule, with every planet, every star, every solar system, there's nothing outside of His reach. So all visible things, all material things, were created by Him. Colossians 1:16, John 1, Genesis 1. This is my phone. Doesn't have any battery. This is a phone. Hey, look, there are some people who might even think about it like, they might even think about it like, they designed or invented this thing. And, think about what goes into creating something like, something as simple as this, as a BlackBerry or whatever is made. There's design that, someone has to think of it first. They have to design it. They have to engineer it, right? Engineering has to do with like understanding how it functions with itself. It's like, design is like, okay, I think about it in a general sense. So I have any people that are designers? Any designers? People who have done design. It's like you imagine the thing, you write it out. But it's really just it's like a blueprint. It's a theory about how you want to build. Engineers, they work on how is it really going to function so that it's operable, so that it works. Then there's someone that produces it. There's someone that has to actually manufacture it, right? Hey, the maker, right? He's the one that designed it. He's the one that created it. He's the one that produces it. Hey, He's got unique authority over everything because he's the maker and designer of all things that are material. We don't even have the capacity to understand what that means, right? Dimension, physicality, weight, the way that all things work with one another. So he is the one that made all these things. All material and visible things are governed by him. Not only are they made by him, but they're all governed by him, right? So he's the one that rules over them. All material and visible things are made for him. They're made for him. He's the reason they were made. He's the reason they were made. Very often, right, like you could say if you buy something, hey, if you buy something, indirectly you can say that thing was made for you, and then you can use it how you want to use it, can't you? Because who is it for? Who is it for? It's for the one that owns it. All things were made for him, and so they all belong to him. They're all owned by all things, us, physical things, human beings, animals, plant life. It's all for him. It's by him, but all made for him. Right? We're going someplace with this here. All right? All made for him. Not only all material and visible things, but all immaterial things. All spiritual things, right? All thrones, dominions. We heard this earlier. All angels. All made for him and by him. So he has governance over all these things. He created all these things. Material and immaterial things have all been created by him. So not only has he established all these things, but he's also the creator of the new creation, right? The original Genesis creation, all done by him. The new creation, the church, all done by him, right? So all the church is all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Everything that happens in spiritual life, he is the beginning of those things. He's the Alpha. He's the creator. He's not only the Alpha and the Omega of physical creation, but he's the Alpha and the Omega of spiritual creation, of the church. All right? So everything that happens in our spiritual life, in the spiritual body, is all created by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of the dead and the living. He is the Lord of the dead and the living. Romans 14:9, Revelations 1:18. So things that are dead, you can't get away from him. Physical things, spiritual things, dead things, living things. He is a judge of all things. I'm just going to stop after a while, by the way. We're going to go for a little more. Because it's going to be clear. He's just over all things. He's a judge of all things. John 5:27. Have you ever thought that to be able to accurately judge something, right? Accurately judge something. We like to judge things all the time, but we don't have enough information to accurately judge it. But to be able to accurately judge it, you have to know, like, every circumstance, every motive, every intention. Well, he's going to judge every human. He's going to judge all things. He is the one who's the judge. All thoughts, intents, and activities of the heart are known by him. Hebrews 4. All physical things, but then, now we're starting to get into more like your mind, concepts. All right? He's aware of your mindset. He's aware of your intention. He's aware of your motives. He's over those things as well. Motives, intentions, beliefs. Now we're talking about things that you really can't see, but he's governing nonetheless. He's the beginning and the end of all things. He's the Alpha and the Omega. We talked about this a little bit already. So he's the one that starts all things, but also Ephesians 1:10, he's the consummation. He's the summary of all things. All things will be gathered up in Him, summarized in Him. I used to be known for like, Tim was making fun of me early today for being like disorganized and late. Both of those things. Maybe he wasn't making fun. No, he was making fun of me early. And so if you're disorganized and late, sometimes like that was kind of like my modus operandi going through high school and things like that. You became a fan before the internet came around. You guys know when you go to the bookstore, I'd be looking for the rack of books that was yellow with black stripes. You know what I'm talking about? You know the yellow with black stripes rack? You know that rack? Yellow with black stripes, because yellow with black stripes, you guys know yellow with black stripes? That's the Cliff Note rack. Oh man, I hope they have a Cliff Note. Because I didn't read Hamlet. I didn't read Hamlet. I needed the Hamlet summary. I needed the Hamlet Cliff Notes. I needed, like, what's Hamlet all about? But I need it codified. I need it shorter. I need to see what it's all about. I need it to be codified. I need it to be broken down. Get to the point here. You know, because I gotta pass this, you know, gotta pass this test here, but I'm not knowing. I didn't read, unfortunately. I mean, I would give it a shot. You know, I would get the book, but I'd be like, you know. And after a certain point in my life, I got not as interested in nonfiction. I mean, in fiction, I was like, just like the Bible and, you know, something that's factual. I just wasn't that interested in stuff like that. So I wanted the Cliff Notes because I wanted somebody else, right, to sum up the points, right? Jesus is the summing up of all things, right? He's the summary. All things will be gathered up, summed up, all things will be pulled together into one at the end of all things in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like, almost like you finish reading the book, you're like, "What was that? What was that all about?" You go to the summary. Oh, that's what it was all about, you know. I'm bad for, like, my wife makes fun of me as well, because she likes, watching a long drama. I don't really, the long drama movie, I'm not really into that, but I do come in. She makes fun of me all the time. She's like, "You come in every time when there's 5 minutes left." And you ask me, well, what happened? And she's like, "I can't tell you in 5 minutes, like, what happened." But that's what I want. I want high level, you know, what happened, you know, that person's dead, that she killed that person, and they're coming back, and now that guy's guilty. That's what I want. I want well, what I'm saying, though, I'm not trying to make light of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to make light of Him. I'm saying that when we look back on all things, and go, what was that all about? Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. The Lord is going to gather up all things in Him, because He's going to summarize all things. All things are going to be summarized in the Lord Jesus Christ, reconciled in Him in some manner or another. He has governance over all circumstances. I love this. I love Philippians 4, 12 and 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul there is talking about being in certain situations, these situations where I'm suffering need, where I'm abased, situations where I'm struggling, where I'm thinking I'm being crushed here. I can see Christ. Paul said Christ is in those situations. Those situations are designed to for me to demonstrate the Lord Jesus Christ. So He's governing all situations. He's the location. We've talked about this many times. He's the location of all spiritual things. He's the location of our righteousness. He's the location of our reconciliation. We heard this earlier. He is the location of all grace, the location of all truth. He's the location of all life, all wisdom. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the location of all peace. All spiritual things, glorification, all of our hope, all of our mediation, He is the one and only mediator between God and man. He is the location of worship. We worship God the Father in Him. He is the place of worship. He is the bread of life. We could go on and on like this. All spiritual things are located in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. We heard this already. He is the object of all that God wants to say. I'm just going through this list of things to simply say that Christ is all things. In other words, all things find their meaning, their purpose, their intention, their original. Have you ever you've heard about original intent, right? Like people talk about the Constitution, right? In terms of original intent, we want someone that looks at the original intent. I'm not that into original intent because there's some things in the original intent of the Constitution that I don't agree with, like the whole 3/5 thing. But the people that wrote it had an original intent, right? Where they wrote it with an original intent. I'm saying that Jesus is the original intent of all things because He's the maker of all things. He's the creator of all things. You can look at, when you look at something that's been made, you can see things, right? Romans 1, you can look at creation. Everything that's made was made by Him, and you can learn things about who He is because He's the one that made it. It reflects who He is. It reflects His glory. I'm going somewhere practically with this, but I just want to make the point that radically, Jesus Christ can be seen in all things because He's over all things. Have I made the point clearly enough? All things, right? All things. This is a setup, right? All things. Now we're going to look at a couple of specific things that help us to kind of move from, okay, so now how do I, okay, so I'm aware of this. But then how do I see Him? How do I walk like this with Him and all things? Just a couple of things I want you to think about here. Turn to 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at a couple of passages here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 5, common passage 7. Six and seven. So we're always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Right. When we're right now, we're living in this world, and we can't objectively see the Lord Jesus Christ right now. We don't seek Him right now. Okay? We don't physically, He's a man. He's a man. So there are men out here, and I can't physically seek Him as a man while I'm in this body here. I can't physically see Him right now. So I have to walk by faith, and in this case, sight is not referring to spiritual sight, but it's talking about my natural sight. I've got to walk by what I see about Him by faith. Right? I've got to walk by faith, not by sight. So I've got to totally walk in accordance with what I know about the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got to not lean on my own understanding. I've got to walk in according to the knowledge. I've got to acknowledge Him in all my ways. I've got to walk in accordance with who He is, not based on what I see, my own sight in the body. This will be limited. Okay, so what do I need in order to do this? I need knowledge of Him, right? I need to know. I need to be able to see Him. Because if I don't have knowledge of Him, it's like, right, like, I've really got two options. It's like, I've really only got two options, walking by faith or by sight. You guys know what a default is, right? What a default is? Default, like, you know, like, how do you explain? I'm looking at a computer. How do you explain what default is? Default is like, if, right, it's like, if you don't make the right choice, it just falls back to the other choice. Defaults back to that. Huh? That's really good. It defaults back to the original setting. So, I need to actively walk according to the knowledge that I have about the Lord Jesus Christ. Or I naturally will walk by sight. Like, you know, I've got to, and here's where I find it to be most difficult. It's like, isn't it so natural to just walk, right? It's like, that's not the way that I want to function. Naturally, I want to walk according to sight. That's how I'm built naturally. But I need knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that I apply to my walk instead of walking by sight. And I need to I need to get this awareness of Him. I need to meditate on His Word. I need to know who He is. Or I see things and I just don't think there's any Christ to be seen. Does that make sense what I'm saying? I don't think there's anything Christ. I think I can just operate by the default. Let me think of an example. If I'm not aware that talking about this person is slander, right? If I'm not aware of what slander is and that this speech is slander and that Christ is not slanderous, then I just walk in slander without, you know, thinking about this is not really, you know, this is fine. If I think that my life is my own, right? I just walk in a way that protects my life. If I think that my money is my own, I just walk in a way that protects my money by default because I don't have enough knowledge about Christ and how He sees my money that when I look at my bank account, I'm seeing my money. I'm not seeing Christ. Right? Right? Is Christ over everything? Is He over everything? When I have a decision to make, man, I have a decision to make. I have this conversation with people all the time. I have a decision to make, and I'm struggling with it, and I'm just trying to tell you, this is just the way that I am. Just the way that I am. If I don't know that the way that I am is wicked, the way that I am is deceitfully wicked, I think it's fine for me to say that's the way that I am. That's my default. I need knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't walk according to knowledge I don't have. So I need knowledge of Him. And I need to radically be focusing on getting this knowledge about Him that I might walk in it. Right? He's making a statement here. We walk, believers, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's not how we roll. We don't roll by sight. We roll by faith. When we hear someone say, Well, I don't know. What is that, sight or faith? How are you operating? Are you operating based on Christ's knowledge? Are you seeing Christ in this situation? Go to the mission field. Well, let me think about this. Are you operating by faith or by sight? How are you operating? We roll. I think I'm gonna go with that from now on. We roll by faith. That's how we roll. By faith, not by sight. That's how we make decisions. So if that's the way we make decisions, we need to be intentional about this. And we need to be about leaning on knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Another thing to think about with this. Seeing Christ in all things requires studying all things Christ said. Studying all things Christ said. Okay? Acts 20:27. Paul's like, I declare to you the whole counsel of God. Jesus is leaving. Jesus says, you need to teach my disciples to obey all that I have commanded. All that I have commanded. Do you know that there are times when it's like Jesus said all these things? Do you know that there are times that you could be obeying many of them, but you exclude one of the things, and you end up with this blind spot in your walk because you're not obeying all he commanded? It's like there aren't like, well, I walk in this, but I won't walk in this. It's like, right? So seeing Christ in all things requires responding to everything he said. How do you know, right? It's like, I can't be like, well, man, I really like this book. I'm going to study this book all the time. I just like, you know, the book of John. It's my favorite book. How do you know the thing you need to walk on is not, right, in Amos? Right? Then you need the whole teaching of the book of Amos. Because you need everything he's saying. You can't be like, well, I want a little bit of this, but not a little bit of this. You need all of what he has to say. Because there are times you won't see him in something because you're not aware of what he's saying about a particular thing. So we need all that he has to say. Now here's a passage that I want to rest in for a little bit. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. We're gonna rest here a little bit talking about this knowledge of Christ, how it pervades, how it invades everything. And Colossians 3:10. Let's just start at 9. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Renewed in knowledge according to the image of him. We talked about knowledge, walking in accordance with different types of knowledge. So the old man, old knowledge, fleshly knowledge, natural knowledge. The new man walks in accordance with knowledge with the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The new man created by him, right? Christ created this new man. And this new man is in accordance with this new knowledge, all right? So you have the old knowledge and the new knowledge. Verse 11. Let's talk about this new man. Where there is no Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ all and in all. All right. This knowledge. So you have this decision, right? You have this decision. And this new man is built up in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in accordance with him. This new man, this new knowledge, that Christ is building in you thinks like Him. This mind of Christ knowledge. It does not submit itself to these things in the old man. It's Greek nor Jew. It's not a knowledge. It's based on like philosophical book focus knowledge. Right? It doesn't operate like that. Man, I'm thinking that sometimes I don't even like to talk about like, I'm thinking like, older I get, I'm thinking like, Paul, like, I don't even like telling people what my graduate degree is in, because it's not like a Christ thing at all. So I don't like talking about it, but it's a knowledge that doesn't include Him. It's like the Greek type thing. It's like worthless, right? It's worthless in the new man. It doesn't mean anything. But we can rely on that type of thinking, right? So not Greek philosophical academic knowledge, not Jewish traditional, like Tim was talking about, legalistic, but not the real true law that's in the scriptures, but this legalistic Jewish fleshly hits you over the head because I'm from Abraham type approach. That's not the knowledge that it's according to. It's not according to circumcised or uncircumcised. It's not based on some external work, some external thing that I look at and I say, well, I'm look at this person's. Have you done this? It's not based on external, any kind of external thing that's meant to be used as a symbol. Barbarian. It's not based on physical brute strength. That doesn't rule the day. But Christ in all. What would that look like if I walk according to the mind of Christ that's saying Christ in all? If you consider others in accordance with this knowledge, what would that look like? Christ in all. Christ all and in all. In other words, we're just going to operate with one another according to the mind of Christ. That's the only way we're going to operate. That's the only knowledge we're going to utilize. When I engage with you, I'm thinking of you like Christ is in you. The Lord Jesus Christ is in you. The Lord Jesus Christ died for you. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ is in me. The Lord Jesus Christ died for me. He cares for me. The Lord Jesus Christ thinks about you this way, so I need to be thinking about you with the sight that He has toward you. I need to see you the way that He sees you in every way. I don't need to be using you. I need to be loving you. I need to be giving my life. What did Christ do for you? What did He do for you? He gave His life for you. What would it look like if I have that approach, Christ is in all, Christ is all, with every person that I'm engaging with? How would that radically impact the way that I think about things? The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who died for us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has given His life for us, and He wants us thinking about one another in accordance with the knowledge of the, according to the image of Him who created Him, according to the knowledge that is found in Him, not according to the knowledge that is within us. Lastly, I want to take a look at the Hebrews passage, Hebrews 4. Look at the Hebrews passage. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. All right, so I talked about this, I think, the last time I was here. This, along with 2 Corinthians 2:5, that He's governing our thoughts and our intents. So Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is seeing in this passage. He's seeing our thoughts. He's seeing what we He's seeing our motives. Like, just like I'm looking at you clearly today, His sight, His perception is accurate when it comes to what motivates us, what our intentions are. He can discern whether or not you're doing this for dishonest gain. Are you doing this for gain? Are you doing this for me? Are you doing this for because how it looks in front of your peers? Are you doing this for me? Are you doing this because of, because you're going to get paid? Are you doing this because of me? Are you doing this out of tradition? Are you doing this for me? Are you doing this because you like being regarded highly by men? Or are you doing this for me? Are you doing this because this is just what you do every time during the course of the year, every year? This is what you do. Are you doing this because you just want to eat every day? You have a physical need that you want to get met? Or are you? He's able to discern all of these things with a very clear sight. He sees it accurately. Right? So if He sees it like that, why do we operate in a way, right, that is like not like He's able to discern these things, right? All things belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are under Him. He's the one who's over all things. He's able to discern whether we're doing what we're doing, the reason why we're doing all these things. So, is there any benefit in hiding something from you when it's not hidden from Him? Is there really any benefit in it? There's like temporary, maybe I can avoid some temporary pain, right? But it's all seen by Him the exact same way, right? He sees all things very accurately. That's the sight that He brings to bear on a situation. So, if we see things the way that He sees things, in other words, if we see Christ in our motives and in our intentions, right, then we would just be open with Him. We would just lay them bare before Him and operate in accordance with what He wants us to do. We wouldn't try to like hide them from one another. We wouldn't try to deceive one another through our own individual intents, our own individual thoughts. I'm thinking that the Lord Jesus Christ knows all things, and if we want to live in such a way, we could say, for me to live is Christ, then we need to be open to the Lord discerning our intents right now. I want to turn to one more passage before we stop. Turn to Job 42. Job 42. This was talked about earlier. Job 42. So, Job has asked questions, he's brought some charges, and he's been answered directly by the Lord in the whirlwind. He's been broken down. He doesn't have a whole lot to say now at this point. And in Job 42 he says, "Then Job answered Yahweh and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak, he said. I will question you, and you shall answer me." Okay, now, verse 5. "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in the dust and ashes." See what's happening here? He was thinking, well, I was thinking that I saw you. All these things have happened to me. I'm Job. I had a really rough time here. I've had my children have been destroyed. My kids have been destroyed. And I've broken out in boils. All these things have happened. And while all those things happened, I began raising things with you. And while I was raising those things with you, I was really seeing me. I was seeing my vantage point, my approach, my opinion. I was using my own sight. I was walking in my own sight. And then you respond to me. You respond to me in a way where you don't even really respond to my questions. You don't even address me. You just show me yourself. And when you show me yourself, it's like, now I, even though at this point, has Job received anything yet? Has he been healed yet? But he says, I see you. I can see you through all of these things. I can see, right now, he's got boils on his body still. I don't have any kids anymore. I don't have any stuff. But now, I can see you. Maybe this is like knowing him, like in his suffering, in the power of his, it's like, just like Paul is like, I want to really know you. There are some things I can't understand without going through suffering. And now I'm seeing you in a better way. Can we see Christ in all things? No matter what, can we see him like Job, like, I see you while I'm sick. I might die right now. I don't have anything, but I can see you in this thing. I can see you in the midst of what I'm dealing with. And you know what? When I see you, it results in me thinking, I'm just garbage. I'm horrible for bringing up all these things to you. So the Lord Jesus Christ is radically all, he's all things. All things are made for him. All things were created for him. Every circumstance you find yourself in, he has a purpose. And the purpose is always that he would be seen to the glory of God the Father. He would be like, you know, as they say, put on shine. He would blow up to the glory of God the Father, no matter what it is. So when you're like, man, I'm dealing with this situation, you don't need to be seeing you. You don't need to be relying on your own knowledge, leaning on your own understanding, but you need to be seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, living by His knowledge and trusting in Him by faith. Amen.